Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Glad you could join us today. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
And Manny Ruiz.
Well, welcome everyone. And again, to our audience out there, if you have anything that we need to address, please send an email to Bob at CC Taxpayers or Mary at CC Taxpayers. We'll see how we can fit it into the show sometime. Again, we're making an appeal to you folks. Mary, you have a lineup for today.
We're going to talk about, Pat has the word of the day. We're going to talk about the European elections, about some things that are happening in the North Carolina House of Representatives. We're going to talk about the budget. We're going to talk about the New Bern tax rate, amnesty, some things that are happening in the military, and the debate next week, and two other items that to be announced.
Well, at least two others. There's probably 27 more to follow on.
Okay. Let's start with the word of the day, Pat.
The word of the day is cockpit. The pervasive taint of globalism bringing DEI into the friendly skies.
Oh, what fun.
Oh, what fun, yes. The world's largest pilot union's inclusive language reference guide finds that the word cockpit is not friendly to women.
God forbid we use the actual language.
Yes,
God
so forbid. It says, many women have heard a variation of, it is called a cockpit for a reason, by a male pilot suggesting women do not belong there. The intent behind the use of the word is important. Well, the fact is, the article goes on to tell us that the word cockpit goes back to 16th century cockfighting. Cockfighting took place in a pit, and then the cockpit translated to the British Navy, because when the decks were cleared to go to war, the ship surgeon set up in a dank, dark region under amidships there, and it was called the cockpit because it was bloody, smelly. People were there as a result of fighting, so that was called the cockpit, and so it made it eventually over to an airplane. It's got nothing to do with men's anatomy.
But it was something control in wartime, okay, a
now,
lot of war action.
Now, what did they want it called?
Flight deck.
Well, having served on the carriers, the flight deck, well, I know the flight deck is a portion of the aircraft, but having served on carriers also, that flight deck is an awful big acreage thing.
Yes, for a little teeny place
For two guys to sit, yeah.
Yeah. I had this story last week, and we didn't get to it, but it's a university, and I forget which one, that's offering a course on how to teach transgenders to sneeze and cough in the gender they are transitioning to.
I didn't know there was a male sneeze.
Apparently there is.
I'm sorry if I've offended you by sneezing in a male way.
In a male way?
Oh, God forbid.
No, it doesn't offend me at all. You're good to go.
Oh, good.
But, you know, I didn't read the article close enough to see whether or not you actually got college credit for it.
I should switch to this college. I'd get
yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah.
During hay fever season, I'm sure that it's a final exam.
Can you imagine sitting in that class?
Is there a singing for us?
Okay.
Well, in spite of all this leftist nonsense, there are some good things going on. I did hear today that the state of Louisiana, they just passed a law that requires every classroom of any state-supported school in Louisiana to begin posting the Ten Commandments as of the beginning of 2025.
Amen.
It's not going to be paid for by the taxpayers. It's going to be paid by donations. But it does get to the issue of what this country stands for. And this nonsense about how you sneeze and all this other stuff that the left wants to shove down our throats, this is something that is counteractive to that. And I'm just so glad to see it. Because in reality, children are born without a conscience. They don't know right. They don't know wrong. If we don't teach them what's right and wrong, then we can't expect them, their behavior, to be pro-social later on in life. So I'm so glad to see that at least one state, maybe we'll have some conservatives in some other states who will have the courage to do the same thing. I'd love to see it.
That is wonderful. And that is along the lines of the charitable organization that began to put In God We Trust on a lot of our municipal buildings, which I think was also very good. Now, we're going to switch over to Europe now. Europe has been, for a while, having a problem with mass Muslim immigration, and it is in danger of creating some cultural problems. And there is a video that showed up on social media Tuesday showing Polish farmers dumping pig manure around the outskirts of their property to deter Muslim immigrants from entering from Belarus because the Muslims have very strong rules regarding pork. And evidently by putting this strip of pork manure around their property, their property is not being overrun. It's an act of, I would call this an act of desperation, because I don't imagine it makes your farm smell too good.
No, not at all.
But on the other hand, people are doing what they can to protect their property from being overrun by people who have no right to be there.
You notice those are Poles. Poland came out of the old iron block. And those nations, once they were freed from the Soviet yoke, they are not as apt to enter into this nonsense that the other Europeans come up with. They're adamantly opposed to immigration, particularly mass Muslim immigration. Hungry for Hungarians.
Yes.
Hmm. It doesn't surprise me that it was Pole.
I don't think we need to oppose immigration, but I think we need to oppose mob immigration, which unfortunately is what we're seeing.
Well, the election, which we're going to get into a little deeper in a minute, that took place in Europe showed a dramatic shift to the right, to more conservative candidates. And I believe the number one issue is the one we're talking about right now is immigration, or I should say illegal immigration, or enough immigration that is changing the culture of these countries. No country can continue to absorb people who do not believe in their values without ultimately destroying itself. There's so much of these immigrants that can be taken in when they don't share your values. And most of these people coming in from the Middle East do not share Western civilization values.
Nor do they have a desire to share.
And they
don't hide it.
Mm-hmm. No, they go off and they have their own little communities, and they have these do-not-go zones in France where they warn the citizens that do not go to these areas because as a citizen of France, you are in danger if you go there. So, I mean, I was glad to see that they're moving in that direction. I hope that our country learns from what Europe is doing.
One of the big things that I was noticing with a lot of this is the shift, like you were saying, the shift to the right, but it's a different type of right. It's not the American right wing. It's an anti-liberal right wing. It's a rejection of the World War II consensus. People in Europe are finally saying, no, the order of globalization, of selling out our country to just become an economic zone for billionaire investors, is not what we want. This is our homeland. It's the country of our forefathers. We have a history. We have a root in religion. Poland is the one we're looking at right now. The largest party with younger voters was Confederation, which is a confederation of smaller right-wing parties who are even advocating for the reinstatement of a Polish monarchy. That's how right-wing they are. They're calling for a return to the tradition. They were so influential in the last government that they were able to force the government to have a crowning ceremony for Jesus Christ, to declare him Christ and King of Poland.
I just want to bring up something, too. You're talking about what has happened with this globalism and this immigration. In the European Parliament elections, the Muslim party, DAVA, won 41% in Duisburg, I guess it is, D-U-I-S-B-U-R-G, in Germany.
So looking at Germany specifically, there have been a large shift towards mass immigration, specifically from Turkey. A lot of Turkish immigration into Germany has caused a reaction against it. Mm-hmm. In 2019, there was a mock election of younger voters who couldn't legally vote at that time. And overwhelmingly voted for the Green Party. And with that shift towards that direction, the new left-wing government has lowered the voting age down to 16, assuming, oh, we'll get more votes this way. The exact opposite has happened, and instead the younger voters have shifted to the nationalistic AfD party, Alternative for Deutschland. And these guys are actively calling for the re-immigration of these people, whether or not of their legal status, to push them back and return them to their homelands so that Germany can be for the German people. It's a massive shift in Europe.
And well, the interesting...
Excuse me a minute, Mary. I wanted to comment on his Turkish allusion there. When I was stationed in Germany in 1974, all of the workers on base for the military were Turkish, and the Germans had imported them because they had a labor shortage.
It is importation of folks. It's what you're seeing in Britain. The reason Nigel Farage is doing so well in the UK right now is because they're saying enough of importing people to artificially inflate our economy. Economics isn't the end-all be-all. We have a people. We have a history. Let's defend it.
Yeah.
The other part of that, too, is that if you go back and look at Germany, I believe 1970s or 1980s, there were some pretty active Muslim terrorist cells operating there. Do you remember the nightclub bombing of our American army guys that happened in Germany? I mean, to go ahead and import a whole group of people that does not fit into your culture and is not easily assimilated with that history is a little bit risky.
It's incredibly risky, and it's going to lead to permanent damage, if not change, both here in Europe and also here in the United States. If we don't change course dramatically, there will be consequences.
Yes.
I'd kind of like to follow that up maybe in a next segment about what may be behind some of these issues that they have in Europe. Because, as I said, I think there's some lessons that we can learn in this country that we need to address.
Yes, I agree.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you had started to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up some of the immigration problems that they're having in Europe. You can go back and look at the low birth rate. It generally takes 2.1 children for every female to maintain your nation's population. Europe is now at like 1.4. Some countries a little less, some countries a little higher. France is a little bit higher. Italy is a little bit lower. But they are not maintaining their population. And same thing's happening in Japan. They have more old people, not enough young people. And same thing's happening in this country. Our birth rate is now down at 1.7. And that is not enough to maintain our population. And then it gets into the issue of where do you get your workers from? And that's how you get into the problem of introducing people that don't have the beliefs and values that reflect your culture, and your culture gets destroyed. Ancient Rome had the same problem. That's part of the reason they fell apart. They could not maintain their population. And I think, Manny, you want to talk about the green energy. I think that was another issue in the European election.
So just recently, the big topic right now in the UK, besides immigration, one of the big ones is net zero. Europe and the UK, who's not a member of the European Union any longer, has been pushing for net zero by 2030. We need to be net zero carbon emissions by 2030. And if you're conservative, you know, one of those strong, hard conservatives, you'll say net zero by 2050. That's really conservative, pushing back 20 years. The only people who have been legitimately challenging the agenda of the green movement per se has been some of these more nationalistic, patriotic parties. When it comes to birth rate, the only people who are willing to talk about it has been Nigel Farage and Reform UK and some of the other and his counterparts throughout the European Union. One of the main parts of, I don't call it a manifesto for Reform UK because whatever reason that they try to call it the contract with the people, taking a line from Newt Gingrich, I feel.
Right.
They have their official contract out, which is basically their manifesto for this election. And they're calling for following what Marco Rubio advocated for just not too long ago back in 2019 in the Senate, which was changing the child tax policy so that if you have more children, you pay fewer taxes. He is the only person out there, besides, ironically, the Scottish National Party, I believe it is, who are advocating for removing that in the UK. It is a seismic shift. It's a cultural shift we're beginning to see there within Europe towards addressing these issues of birth rates, of who are we, identity, and all the rest.
Well, you know, bringing up the tax issue, when Trump implemented his tax cuts, the increasing the deduction for children went up pretty substantially. So there are some things.
Marco Rubio,
and that's the direction. If that's what we need, then we need to do something to.
Hungary has taken it so far, actually. I know you mentioned Hungary earlier, that they've even said if a mother has more than six children, her entire family will go with no income tax for the rest of their lives.
Ugh.
Because they are providing enough children to make up for that income tax loss. Yeah. That's how desperate it's become when it comes to population.
You know, you had brought up what was called net zero by 2030. Growing up, we remember when population was pushed, we needed a net zero population growth. Now, they didn't take it to net zero, which would be your 2.1 or whatever else, right. But they wanted essentially no domestic.
And look what that's doing for China. They now have an upside down population chart, and they're now asking people, please have more children. We don't have enough workforce.
Yeah, they are restricted to one child per family. And this issue about this net zero,
we
have to always remember that the whole basis of this effort, this green movement, is based on false information. There is no scientific proof that CO2 is affecting climate change. There are projections, computer projections, and so on and so forth, but there is no valid scientific evidence. So we're chasing a red herring that doesn't even exist. But you hear even Republicans and conservatives talking like they believe it.
Well, we also see in the auto industry with the EV vehicles, electric vehicles, or whatever. Well, yes, that electric vehicle isn't emitting CO2 while it's driving on the road, but it's using when they're generating the energy to recharge that vehicle. Something's coming out of there, unless we're going to go to all nuclear plants or something
guys,
like that.
Hey, guys, don't worry about it, because AOC told us that the world was going to die in 12 years. And how many years ago did she say that?
And
we've only got a couple left.
That's right.
Well, they can't even tell us what the weather is next week. I mean, we're supposed to listen to people telling us what the weather's going to be in 20 years, and they can't even get next week right.
I'm not going to get into the whole science and all the rest, because I would need to study that myself. But it comes down to this. Are we willing to go, think of it like a game of poker. Are we willing to go all in and say we're willing to destroy the entire heritage of our society and our civilization on the off chance this happens? I'm sorry. I don't think we're willing to give up the entire legacy of the West for, you know, fluffy dreams and rainbows.
Well, it's, you know.
Don't forget that Obama bought oceanfront property, even though the sea is going to rise 16 feet or whatever.
Well, all we have to do, if we really want to know when weather disasters are coming, all we have to do is follow Jim Cantore around. That's the solution. He seems to know ahead of time.
100% reliable has never been wrong.
It's the only...
You know, the other thing that was interesting on this European election was the fact that they announced the results of that election the night of Election Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what all the countries are doing, but I know France... They used to have a system like we have now, where they had absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. They went completely away from that. And the reason was there was the amount of fraud and problems they were having. And they've gone back to what Donald Trump is advocating, paper ballots, one-day voting, and hand-counted. And that's really where we need to be going. And we need to get our conservative elected officials to make a stand on this. Mm-hmm. And right now in this election, we have to go by with the rules that are in place. But it's just such a potential problem. And I remember all my life, we never had issues about not finding out when the results were. And we never had these concerns about the validity of elections. And there's a reason for it, and we need to stop it.
Well, we used to have Election Day was a holiday, and the schools were closed.
As were the bars.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, it tells you where someone was frequenting.
But the schools were closed, and I remember my parents taking me with them when they went to vote, and they let... Even then, they do it now, too. Little kids are allowed to go into the voting booth with their parents and see how it's done. And I think that sets a good example.
I just thought of this while you were saying that. Mexico just recently had their presidential and legislative elections just earlier this month. And they got it all done the same day. They were able to do the entire country of Mexico on the same day. With all the gang violence and the rest, I think this is the record-breaking election for most murdered candidates. And they still got everything counted in one day. I'm not saying we have to go to the Mexican system. Please, let's not get our candidates murdered by any means.
No.
But other countries are able to get it done in one day. We should be able to do the same thing here.
If you do it precinct by precinct, it can be done.
And sure, if we go over a little bit at past midnight, okay, sure, whatever, I get a lot of people vote. But we shouldn't have to wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, wait until the Supreme Court has to come in and tell us who's president, like in 2000.
Well, the system we had in place for over 200 years worked. And now we have a system. And why is it? Who was the one pushing the change in the system? The people who have benefited from it. The Democrat Party are the ones that came up with all these ideas. And unfortunately, we have conservative elected officials that go along with it.
Of course, we look at the fact that, again, here in this state in North Carolina, again, even though it's the law that you need a picture ID in order to vote, that's up for debate again before various court systems. And the question is, name one thing you don't need a picture ID for.
And thankfully, our Republican majority right now in this state House and Senate have actually begun working on drafting a new constitutional amendment. I was just reading the article earlier today to make that law stricter to make sure, hey, it has to be a valid photo ID. You're not going to come in there with, you know, your student ID that can get printed off 3,000 times for 3,000 different students. No, let's see that you're proof of citizenship and that only citizens can vote. So thank you, Republicans in the state House and state Senate, for pushing this.
And what they're trying to do, Manny, is they're trying to make this a state constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. The reason they want to do that is that currently the requirement to be a citizen is just law. It's law passed by the General Assembly, which means another General Assembly could come along with a different
majority,
yeah, and they could change it. And what they want to do is they want to make it firm enough that changing it is going to become more difficult. And I think that's behind it.
So if it's constitutional, then, and you said it has to be a picture ID of an American citizen, then the next, whoever changes it, they're not going to open up to any resident.
Right.
At least not easily.
Now, when we come back, because I know we're getting ready to take a break, there's another item regarding the NC House that I want to go to. If you want to start off with it, Pat.
How much time have I got?
Well, you've got 45 seconds.
Give us a taste. What are we talking about?
All right. Article in the spotlight in the News and Observer. North Carolina House budget targets prosecutors who let protesters off on civil disorder charges.
They're letting them off.
Yes, we will come back with that.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, this CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Pat, you teased us with an intro.
Yes, this is an article from the News and Observer. North Carolina House budget targets prosecutors who let protesters off civil disorder charges. I think a lot of Americans have been frustrated by watching all of these pro-Hamas charges and the summer of the BLM beatdowns, where, you know, they're burning things to the ground. They get arrested. The charges are all dismissed. Nothing ever happens to them. A little item was tucked into the North Carolina House budget proposal that would target prosecutors who dismissed criminal charges against protesters or allowed them to plead guilty to lesser charges. The new language would require the prosecutors to provide detailed explanations for their reasoning if they dismiss a civil disorder case or allow the defendant to plead guilty to a lesser offense. They would have to share this explanation with the law enforcement agency that charged the defendant. I know in reading the article that in Raleigh, they already do that. Prosecutors have to do that if they dismiss or let a defendant plead to a lower offense in a DWI case. And that's largely a political issue. When I was in New Mexico, that was a hot button issue for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And they would start showing up at the magistrate court for the DWI case. And there you are, you're not used to anybody watching what you do. And so you just flip it under the rug, or, you know, just quietly sign a dismissal charge. Now you're going to have to answer to people. What I see as a past prosecutor is this infringes on the prosecutor's unlimited discretion on which cases to prosecute. People often think that the district attorney has a boss, and they're like, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell your boss. Well, I don't have a boss. You're my boss. If you don't like the decisions I'm making, vote me out.
Elect somebody else.
Right. But there's nobody to complain to and make me file. In fact, judges can't even order DAs to file cases.
And I think this is a good way of dealing with it, because it allows the legislature to put pressure on it. There has to be a check on that system. And here we have the great system of the founders being put into practice. There's a check and balance.
Right.
You hit here, we hit there.
Police charged 36 protesters from the Chapel Hill encampment with trespassing. Some of them face other charges, including assault on a government employee and resist, delay, and obstruct. Local officials in Chapel Hill and Carlsboro faulted the UNC police for escalating a peaceful protest. Remember the CNN, this is just a peaceful protest, and behind him
with
the building
fire.
Is burning down.
Yeah.
Peaceful protest. So the local officials are urging the Orange Chatham district attorney to dismiss the charges and to prioritize restorative justice rather than punitive measures. Restorative justice is a far left idea about concentrating on the perp as if they were a victim of the system, and to try not to prosecute them for anything and try to avail them of services that helps fix their problem with society.
You want to see how old that goes? Look at Europe. That's why they're having the reaction they had, is because they have that system. They said, it's not working for us.
You know, Pat, as you said, looking at the perp, I happened to get a couple of different concealed carry magazines. And one of the continuing articles in there is, if you are ever, as a person that is a concealed carry person, if you're ever in a situation where you need to take advantage of the weapon that you have with you, don't ever say, oh, I'm sorry that I shot that person. Don't ever say that, because then you are the perp. And in everything that I read, you become the perp. Somebody came at you fully armed, and all you're doing is defending yourself. If you say something silly, all of a sudden you become the perp.
And so you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yes.
You shot somebody, maybe you took their life, but you're not allowed to be sorry for it.
You're not allowed to be sorry. And it sounds crazy, but that's the way
you just have to say that you felt threatened and you felt your life was going to end if you didn't take action.
That's what you have to say, is that you know that your life was threatened and you're not using excess of force.
If there are any Republican legislators listening to this, this seems like a great opportunity to piggyback off of Texas and follow their stand your ground laws and, you know, really allow North Carolina citizens to feel safe if and when this situation comes up and happens.
Yes. Can we switch topics, Pat? Can we go over to you have an article about the military.
I do. We were talking on one of our prior shows just recently about whether or not the military has been used as a place for civil experiments. And I think we all agreed that they have been.
They have been a social experiment.
And the latest social experiment is, who's going to have to eat lab-grown meat? And there they are, undefended against the federal government. And so the military is going to have to eat lab-grown meat.
And if you're out shipboard out in the middle of the Atlantic, you don't have a lot of choices.
No, you don't. But BioMade is a public-private company that's received more than $500 million in funding from the Defense Department. and it announced earlier this month that it's seeking proposals to develop innovations in food production that reduce the CO2 footprint of food production at DoD operational environments. So they're working with novel cell culture methods suitable for the production of cultivated meat-protein, lab-grown meat.
Protein. Oh, geez.
This type of meat is grown in a lab from animal cells with the aid of other chemicals.
With the aid of other chemicals.
And I can, you just mentioned, if you're out at sea, you're going to have to eat it or go without. But if it, for those that are on land somewhere and have access to, I'll just take my money, instead of the meals that their pay includes, they'll spend out of their pocket to go eat, you know, at Burger King.
I feel this is a great opportunity for some random dude to start a new religion that requires everyone to eat like actual steak. So they have like a religious exemption to this.
There
or
you
something.
Go. There you
well,
go.
It shows you how socialism works. Instead of free enterprise operating a change in how we produce meat and then let people decide what they want and so on, the government gets behind it. They fund it, which they've done with this particular company. They fund the research. And then to keep it going, they use taxpayers' money to buy the products. So it's all socialism at its worst. And that's what we're facing with this regime that's in power. They just want to do what they want to do, and they will figure out a way to use taxpayers' money to get it done.
By the way, you know, I'm going to throw in another quick article that came across the desk. I guess it was last week or in China. Now I'm trying to think of the name of the town. But in China, there was a story about a 26-story pig farm. They've made these apartment buildings that are essentially robotically run to go and grow and process pigs and whatever else. And the excrement from the pigs is used to create the methane gas that runs the whole plant and everything like that. But so this apartment building, you talked about Poland a little earlier, just encircling some mm-hmm. certain areas. Now, this whole 26-story pig farm in China. And by the way, it's not very far from Wuhan, so...
Oh, fine.
But don't know. But folks, just go look up 26-story pig farm.
Good grief.
I mean, that's plenty of bacon, though. So, I mean, that's a good morning breakfast for you.
Where are we going next?
We're going to the new immigration policy of the Biden administration, which is nothing more than amnesty by another name. And, of course, if you've listened, President Biden is blaming the Republicans for the problem at the border. And I just want to remind everybody that on his first day of office, he did a lot of executive orders that undid all of the things that were keeping our border secure. So any lack of security in our border falls on his lap. It does not fall on anyone else's lap. And the only reason he's doing anything at all right now is because there's an election in November, and it has occurred to people that we're being overrun, and unfortunately, they're giving the illegals crossing the border voter registration forms, which is totally insane. Again, I'm not opposed to legal immigration, but one thing to be aware of with even legal immigration is that the legal visas for some of our high-tech workers are replacing Americans in Silicon Valley and other places.
H-1 visas.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And our colleges are the percentage of foreign students in our colleges versus American students has risen dramatically. We're not taking care of our own. I don't have a problem with legal immigration. I don't have a problem with letting people in to work. But we need to take care of our own kids first and get them the educations they need to be productive citizens, not at let's not do this for other countries without doing it for our own kids.
And Mary, it's, as you say, it's this assault on our, the work availability, job availability for our own citizens, but it's also this terrorist issue.
Yes.
They had a dramatic report they had the other day when Trump, the last 2 years that Trump was in office, there were a total of, in 2 years, there were a total of 2 people on the terrorist watch list that were admitted into the country that they detected. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2023, during the Biden regime, there were 360. This year so far, there's over 200. So we are admitting all these people, and the terrorist threat is just growing exponentially.
It only took about 5 or 6 people to create 9/11. What are we setting up now? It's a little bit scary.
Folks, we're going to leave that as a question. We're going to go take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for listening.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Manny, you have the last word.
Last word here on immigration. I know we've been keep talking about it both in Europe and here in the U.S., but I want us U.S. listeners, the Americans here, to really listen to and listen to our British brothers. The U.K. is going through an immigration crisis brought on by none other than the Conservative Party, because the Conservatives have brought in the mass illegal immigration to their country. They've allowed the overstaying of visas. They've allowed a mass population shift to the point that the majority of London is no longer even British. Mm-hmm. That is the massive shift that they've allowed under their term. More people have come in the last 3 years of Conservative leadership than the entirety of New Labour, Margaret Thatcher, and then some combined. It is Conservative failure, and that is why a new Conservative movement is growing in the UK. So Conservatives here in America, do not allow Republicans to die down on this issue. You need to stand up on immigration and say, no, no immigration until we figure out what's going on. Let's fix our country first and put our people first.
You know, Manny, again, you're using the terminology as they present it, conservatives and whatever else. And again, I'm going to go back to the book, The 5,000-Year Leap,
mm-hmm.
because we talk about liberals and we talk about conservatives. We talk about Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. We talk about all of these things. But that book defines the spectrum of government all the way from anarchy to tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, no control at all to total control.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we hear the conservatives, we're not sure whether those conservatives are the same as our conservatives.
I call them conservatives because their legal name is
That's right.
But nothing at all about them is conservative.
And I just want to make sure that we're
who didn't get caught up with the train.
We're aware of that. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting the way Donald Trump, when you listen to his rallies, he's really moving to defining his populist movement, and that's how I see it. He is getting the average common person to be supporting him. The Democrats seem to be going more and more towards elitism. Where do they go for their funding? They go to Hollywood. They go to these big donors. And what Trump was talking about was the fact that his movement is common sense. He doesn't call it, this is conservative. He said, these are common sense issues. And this immigration business, we are not only letting these people in, we are paying them to stay in luxury hotels. Mm-hmm. We're giving them all, they're giving them debit cards, giving them all, we're paying them to come in. But if you go back in history, and Eisenhower, during the 50s, he deported 3 million illegals, okay, in a very short period of time. Trump is talking about the same thing. But it's getting to what you're saying about who's really a conservative, mm-hmm. someone who's willing to take a position. How many other politicians do you hear saying that?
And
that
we let me touch on that right there.
That we should deport these people.
I looked at my phone just now, and the latest poll for the UK has the Conservative Party, who currently has 365 seats in Parliament, with 0 seats because people are that fed up. We'll leave that as the last word on immigration because we could go on that for another 4 days if we wanted.
Okay.
Well, there's, you know, related to that, I mean, when you talk about these government programs and so on, you can't or you shouldn't avoid the impact on the national debt. The Congressional Budget Office just announced yesterday they projected what the debt will be. And by 2030, okay, which 6 years from now, the debt will be $50 trillion. $50 trillion. When this organization was started against the growing debt, the debt was what, 10, 12 trillion? It was in that neighborhood in like 2010, whatever. And now it's up to $50 trillion. But you don't hear many elected officials saying anything about it. And it's to the point where we're adding $2 trillion a year. And just
The interest on the debt is
unbelievable. And you're getting to the point where it's got to collapse. It can't keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're going to have a Malay-style revolution where you're saying it's time for massive cuts and it's going to hurt.
Well, again,
add to that the fact that that Saudi Arabia is no longer supporting the trading of oil and petrodollars,
yeah.
which was part of what was keeping our dollar afloat. Our dollar is afloat by the grace of God right now.
And you know, we if you look back at the European has a central bank. Now, we don't have a, quote, central bank. We have, quote, the Federal Reserve, end quote, which is really a central bank.
And it's awful.
Okay.
The point
of it is that in Europe, if they want to raise taxes, they just raise central bank. They'll just raise taxes. Here, we have the Federal Reserve. We don't just raise taxes. We raise inflation.
Right.
That gets them more money,
yeah.
and decreases the value of our dollars.
And, you know, the Democrat regime, or at least the Biden regime, continues to use federal funding in order to foster their ability to get elected. That's what they're doing. He's buying votes, basically.
Student loan program.
Yeah, the student debt transfer is what I like to call it, because it's not forgiving anything. It's just transferring to other people. Funding Ukraine, we're sending them billions and billions of dollars. At what point do you have to say, we don't have the money to do all these things anymore? Not just keep printing this money, and that's buying votes. And it's just going to destroy the country.
Well, the scary part about the funding of Ukraine is that when Congress has tried to put accountability on that money, the Democrats have voted it down, and we have no idea where that money is going. And there have been rumors all the way along that some of the equipment that we've been giving them has been up on eBay. We've heard all kinds of stories about the money coming back into Democrat campaign coffers. I mean, we have no idea where that money is going.
Well, I know where some of it is. Zelensky bought one of the royal family's residences.
Oh, how lovely. I'm sure he's enjoying that.
Yes. So we'll have to watch that residence when the lights go on. We'll know things in Ukraine are over because he's escaped to his den of iniquity.
And yet at the same time, we are restricting what we promised to send to Israel.
Yes.
Israel, in my opinion, probably could have already brought this to a conclusion had they not had the Biden administration saying, yeah, we're supporting Israel. Then the other hand, they withhold munitions and armament that they have agreed to send over there. And Netanyahu is very right about that.
We have a lot of issues coming up, and there needs to be a change. I know, Mary, you're going to say we have an election coming up, which leads us into your next topic here.
Well, I just want to mention one thing about what Alan said about Israel. I saw a quote somewhere today, and I don't remember where I saw it, that if you really want to bring peace to the Middle East, all you need to do is change the government of Iran to a Western-oriented republic.
How useful is that kind of observation?
Well, I know you're not.
John Bolton may have sent that in. I'm not dying to go fight in Iran. I'm sorry.
No, I don't mean go fight, but I mean that is the head of the snake in the Middle East.
Serious topic of conversation.
No, that's the equivalent.
I can wave my wand too.
That's the equivalent of the communist dominoes in the Southeast Asia. That's just why we
I think
involved.
That's the head of the snake. That's why we got,
this is a great
off.
Topic for a future show to actually debate American foreign policy there in the Middle East, because I think that is a
wild.
Great show to have there.
That
yeah.
would be wild. Okay, so we need to talk for a few seconds anyway. I don't know how much, we don't have a lot of time. There's a presidential debate next week. They've already released the rules. I'm not real optimistic about a fair debate. I think they're going to ask Joe Biden what flavor ice cream he likes and then ask Trump about foreign policy, but maybe I'm just skeptical. Does anybody else have a comment?
Well, I think that Trump, he made statements that he would debate Biden anywhere, anytime. So he's willing to accept about anything they come up with. Mm-hmm. I think he's so confident that his message is strong enough to get through. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that a couple of the rules might actually help him. Number one is they're going to restrict the candidates from arguing with each other. And I think what hurt Trump last time in the debates was this interrupting the other candidate. I think he'd be better off being more controlled and staying on the issues, because the issues are what's really...
And they're cutting his microphone so he can't argue.
And the other thing, I think, this question keeps coming up about what happened in the Hillary Clinton debate, where Hillary was given the questions before the debate. I think the only way you can solve that problem is you give both candidates the questions.
Well,
Why does it have to be a surprise to the candidates? Why can't the candidates have the questions and let them respond to them? And this way, everybody knows it's above board, because now you'll never know did Joe Biden have the questions or didn't he?
But I'm gonna go a little bit more rogue. And that is, now again, we're on CNN apparently, and there's going to be asked questions. But if we perceive that the questions aren't fair, I don't think, and either candidates, is responsible for answering those questions. Give out what you want to say. Period.
Yeah, and that's a good debate. It does that. They take the question and they divert it to another topic.
If the
question is inappropriate or not.
I want electronic jamming of the room so that nothing can be transmitted through any kind of a listening device to anyone who might not have the answers at their fingertips.
What I want to see with the debate, honestly, is just see what does RFK do with all of this? Because I know he's not been invited to the debates. I know there's a lot of shenanigans there. But I want to see what is his reaction going to be? Is he going to have like a little promo he does? I'm not supporting him, but I'm just interested in seeing.
There is a possibility that he can qualify. There is a possibility.
That would be very fascinating to see.
It's a long shot, but there is a possibility. I don't know who his presence would help.
I think it would hurt Biden more. But folks, if you're even thinking about voting for RFK, he is nothing more than just an Obama Democrat. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it.
Very definite liberal. And he's not, I mean, he said some things over the years that I actually agree with. But he's also said a whole bunch of things that I don't agree with.
Sure, and JFK had a lot of great points. Still Democrat.
Yeah, well, he came out the other day and said that if he were elected, he would cut the military budget by 50%. You talk about destroying our country in terms of we're facing these adversaries that are combining their resources, becoming more of a threat, and he wants to cut, and he wants to spend it on what? More social programs. That's what he said.
Or transgender brigades.
Yeah, let's go. Legalizing abortion up till point of birth. So, that's what you're getting with RFK, folks.
Yes.
Well, you know, folks, again, we've had a lively discussion. Again, I'm going to ask you, if you have a question that you want us to talk about on the air, please send an email to bob@cctaxpayers.com or mary@cctaxpayers.com, and hopefully we can get it on the air for you. This is the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association Wake Up Call Show. Thanks for listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.